And so you should not be dumped into a schedule that is exactly what a more experienced vet is able to handle.
Welcome to the Sawyer Vet Now What, the podcast. This is a show that serves as your audio mentor in your journey as a veterinarian. And each week, our awesome host, Dr. Mariah McCauley, will be bringing you insightful short-form interviews with happy, successful vets who are eager to share their career and clinical tips to make your life easier. So whether you're a final year vet student or a recent graduate, this podcast is your trusted companion on the pathway to success in veterinary medicine. Over to you, Mo.
Welcome back to So You're a Vet, Now What? I am your host, Dr. Mariah McCauley. Each week, I am joined by incredible vets who are eager to share their stories of their careers, as well as clinical tips to help you thrive in practice. So whether you are a final year vet student or a new graduate, this podcast is your virtual mentor on the pathway to success in veterinary medicine. Today on the podcast, we are talking about schedules and my five tips to help you leave on time, because there is nothing worse than being chronically behind and consistently leaving the hospital 1 to 2 hours after your shift. We're going to move pretty quickly through them all, so let's jump right into it. All right, welcome back, you guys. And as we said in the intro, we are talking about the wonderful topic of schedules and leaving on time. Because I'm sure you've heard from other veterinarians, or maybe you're actually starting to experience this if you're in practice already, that there are certainly days where it feels like you cannot get out of the practice on time. I've certainly had days earlier in my career that I was leaving 1, even 2 hours after my shift. And granted, there are times that you cannot escape that. The emergency comes through the door and you and your team are going to be there to get them stabilized, to get them taken care of. And so, yeah, you're going to leave late. But there are a number of things that you can do, especially if you find that you are consistently leaving the practice late. And a lot of it comes down to how you are managing your schedule. So we're going to roll through this pretty quickly here, but I want to give you some pointers that, especially if you're starting out in practice, like no one teaches you this in vet school. Like honestly, no one taught me any of this in vet school. I kind of had to figure it out on my own and kind of lean into my other mentors. So hopefully this saves you guys a little bit of grief down the road, but let's get rolling right into it. So my first tip for being able to leave on time actually comes down to the work culture that you are in. So I really hope that you guys have chosen to work at a practice that values quality over quantity. And what I mean by that is I want you guys to be in a practice where you feel valued, that you feel like your time is valuable, and that your clients also find that valuable too. So granted, there are definitely ways that you can do this. The main two categories that I'm looking at are the type of practices that you maybe have 30 to 45, maybe even up to an hour long appointments on some regular basis, rather than trying to push through appointments every 15 minutes, regardless if they're a wellness or an illness. And if you are a new graduate, your schedule should be different than the older veterinarians or the more experienced veterinarians. It should be different. And I say this because new graduates, as kind of a rule of nature, we're going to be slower. You're going to be slower. You're going to take more time to find things, to be able to develop your spiel of how you're going to talk to your clients. Like it is going to take you longer to do a wellness appointment within your first week or two in practice, and even a couple months out for your illnesses. It's going to take you longer. And so you should not be dumped into a schedule that is exactly what a more experienced vet is able to handle. That's just mean to do that, quite honestly. So I really hope that you guys are in a practice where the quality of your veterinary exams and your consults has more value than the number of patients that you're able to see in a day. And what this will do for you is that it gives you the breathing space to say, you know what, I need more time. Or maybe, hey, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I'm able to consistently get my appointments done, get some of my notes even finished, and move on to the next one and still have space. So that is something that I want you guys to be talking about with your mentors and as you're developing your schedule, is to say, all right, for the first 1 up to 2 weeks, ideally, if you can, and you're in a GP small animal practice, like have 1 hour appointments for and just have them mainly wellnesses. And what that'll do is it'll allow you to learn the protocols, learn the computer software, kind of start to get your spiel down for certain things and really get the ball rolling. Any kind of loss that you will incur financially or time-wise, like you'll make that up even like tenfold, honestly. Well, maybe not tenfold, but a grand number just by having those 2 weeks where you have more time to figure things out. So that is one of those first things, is making sure that, again, you're in a practice where if you need more time, they'll give it to you, or they'll set you up for success by giving you those longer appointments at the start. And then over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, you'll slowly move into a more regular, streamlined kind of schedule, and you'll feel more comfortable with that rather than being dropped into the frying pan. So, second tip that I have for you guys is about when to arrive for your shifts. And I say this because you cannot guarantee that every single day will work like clockwork. You never really know exactly what's going to come through the door as soon as the appointments start in the day. And so if you can set aside some time before your appointments start, that's kind of your you time in a way. You have a little bit more control over that time because you're not actively seeing patients. And this is the time of day. So say it's like a morning appointment schedule and you're coming in for the morning shift. I like to come in 40, 30 minutes earlier so that I can start to go through my tasks, deal with any kind of urgent things, make some urgent calls, really get the fires that are burning put out before my appointments start. Because I have had numerous occasions, and other veterinarians will tell you that as soon as your appointments start, it can feel like you're getting steamrolled. Like everything moves so fast some days that that fire that was burning, they're like, oh, well, I think I'll deal with that phone call between this and that appointment. Like that time is gone. It's already gone. It doesn't exist. So if you can manage that before your appointments start, that will set you and your team up for success for whatever chaos ensues the rest of the day. So give yourself that time. And maybe you're not just doing tasks during that time. Maybe you are making sure you get that cup of coffee that you need to start the day, that you're doing the rounds, that you're talking to your receptionists, your technicians, everyone else to see how they're doing in the day, kind of doing that team and that culture check-in that will set everybody else up for success. But really take that time to set aside some time before your shift starts, and the rest of the day will roll a little bit smoother just by doing that. So that's number two. Number three is going to be looking at your schedule ahead of time. So a little bit of that time in the early part before your shift starts is actually going to be looking at your schedule. Don't just roll up 2 minutes before your shift starts and then open up the schedule and be like, oh, is that what I'm doing today? Especially as a new grad, this is something that even if you're able to look at it in a way, like just a peek the night before to give you an idea of what's happening, that can be beneficial. Granted, if it's going to give you too much stress, don't do it. Don't worry about it yet. But at least looking at your schedule the day of, getting an idea of, okay, how many wellnesses do I have? How many of those wellnesses are high FAS dogs, fear, anxiety, stress, so like more difficult to handle, probably going to take more time? How many of those clients am I familiar with and their communication style? How long do I think those appointments are really going to take when I get in there? Also taking a look at some of your illnesses and saying, okay, I don't really understand what's going on with that particular case. Maybe having a nurse or an assistant calling them beforehand, get a little bit more information, deciding if they need to be a drop-off. All of these sorts of things can happen just by taking 5 seconds, just breeze through your appointment schedule in the first part of the day. Because again, you're going to see like, oh, actually that appointment might need a little bit longer, or that dog has been vomiting on and off for 3+ days. They might need to come in and actually start some diagnostics as a drop-off appointment or a day appointment rather than trying to fit it all into a 30-minute illness appointment or something shorter than that. Again, that's going to set you up for success, the team up for success, and the client and the patient up for success, because you can say, hey, Dr. McCauley would actually like you to come in a little bit earlier so that we can start some diagnostics, so that we can take the best care of Fluffy and be able to come up with a solution for you guys rather than trying to press it into a shorter time frame.
Are you a new or recent veterinary graduate? If so, listen up. My course, Sawyer Vet Now What, has been put together specifically for you. We focus on the non-clinical skills. Don't tune out. This is not as dull as it sounds, I promise you. In fact, almost every career problem that people face are due to not having well-developed non-clinical skills. The skills that I'm talking about are things like client communication, so you have great relationships with clients, emotional intelligence, so you've got great relationships with your teammates, effective negotiation skills, so you can get paid what you are worth, management of imposter syndrome, and how to build formidable resilience. They're not just skills, they are prerequisites vital for success in financial and emotional well-being. This course serves as an essential stepping stone to your success. So let's take the leap together. I will be your mentor as we go through 12 modules helping you transition from being a student to being a fully rounded professional. Head to www.drdavenichol.com/syav-class to learn more. Now back to the show.
And for the most part, clients will be very amenable to that and appreciate that extra time and care that's put into it. So take a look at those things. Take a look at how the day is going to flow for you. And maybe you'll actually see that, you know what? I think I might have a little bit of catch-up time during my day that I can maybe put out one of those fires. Or at least that'll be a time that you can sit down and try and get through some more of your records, which honestly, as time goes on, I have less and less time to actually finish my records between appointments, but it all comes down to the day and the type of software that I'm using. So that was number three. Number four, like I said, we're going to be rolling right through this today, y'all. Number four is the team that you are working with. So at my practice, we have a designated veterinary assistant that you work with through that shift. And for the most part, like, you're very familiar with how that person communicates, how they work. They understand how you work, what you prefer, don't prefer in the consult room or outside the consult room. So you kind of work as a seamless team after a little bit of time, which is one of the coolest experiences ever. But you want to make sure that the teamwork makes the dream work, and really communicating with that veterinary assistant your thoughts for the day. Like, you've taken a look at the schedule. Hopefully they have too. And both of you may be like, I think that appointment or that patient might be a little bit more than we're anticipating. Or even you may look ahead and you'll be like, oh, I know that patient. They have a really chronic disease. We've been managing it for a while. And get your teammate up to speed on what you've been doing with that patient so that when they go into the room, they can ask more confident questions. They can target their questions a little bit more than maybe they would have generally. And that will help improve communication, speed up the care that's provided, and just improve the confidence and basically the team and the trust that the client has in the whole team as well. So really working together, asking questions back and forth. They can take a look ahead and be like, okay, we have this many wellness appointments, these type of vaccines, double checking that we have everything in stock beforehand so that when it comes time, you can just kind of move as one seamless machine straight through the day. And I will say, like, the veterinary assistants that I work with in my practice, like, they are as good as gold. Like, I cannot do what I do without them. As much as many times they're like, oh, you don't even need me today. You're kind of doing everything on your own. I'm like, no, I need you guys. They keep me straight. They make sure I don't miss things. They make sure that the appointments are moving forward, because when I am starting to get behind, they are the people that are really watching the clock. I lose track of time when I'm in an appointment. It's the doctor brain. You don't really notice that you've been in there for 15, 20 minutes and that your next appointment has started 5-10 minutes ago. So they're the ones who keep me on track. They're also the ones that say, hey, do you want me to go ahead and start the next appointment? And so again, working together as a team will help keep the day moving forward without getting too backed up. Okay, we have breezed through four main tips for getting you guys out on time. And again, all of them have really come down to, how do you organize the day? How do you work with the team that is around you so that everybody can be successful? So this last tip is really focused on you as the doctor. And this last one is working on finishing your records. Now, in an ideal world, you get everything done right after that appointment finishes. And so by the end of the day, all your records are done. But we know that we do not live in such a rose-tinted world. And there have been many days where I open my dashboard and I just have an entire day of open soaps that I have not finished. But the thing that can make them less daunting is the small points of work that I've done throughout the day on them. So in each of the appointments, thankfully, my assistants have already gone in and put their notes from what they've gotten from the histories from everything. So I don't have to deal with that. After each appointment or during each appointment, I try and get each of the vitals in there. So that part's done. And additionally, I start putting in bullet points. Or if you're in a practice where you have a scribe, like have your scribe start putting in bullet points so that when it comes to the end of the day, you do not have 15, 20 plus completely unfinished or untouched soaps. That way, when you get to the end of the day, all you have to do is kind of jog your memory based on the notes that have already been put in there. And you can finish everything, hopefully within a reasonable amount of time. Because that has probably been the part of veterinary medicine that I loathe the most is the record keeping. I didn't realize how much of a medical transcriptionist I would end up being at the end of the day. So that is something that is always kind of in the back of my mind of how do I speed up this process? How do I make it easier? And I mean, if you're lucky enough to have some kind of transcription software that you can use, fantastic. Use it, you guys. It will make your life so much easier. But if you're kind of like the rest of us, still kind of in the dark ages of, granted, I guess the dark ages, or if you're using paper records, which if that's the case, I'm so sorry, you guys. But if you're in just the dark ages of using the typical computer software of typing everything up, really putting your small notes in as you're going through the appointment will make it a heck of a lot easier. When you're at the end of the day, you've already had 5 different vomiting, diarrhea cases. You can't keep them straight. You don't know which one is which, and you don't want to miss anything on the medical record. So again, keeping those small notes, it'll help you finish the appointments on time, well, more on time, and it will help you get your medical records done so that you can actually leave the hospital. Which the part B to this tip really comes down to the individual. And if you have a cloud-based software, you do have the option of potentially finishing your medical records at home. I caution you guys against this, especially if you're in your first couple months in practice, just because this is the time where you're really setting up those boundaries of saying, okay, I'm not going, like maybe for you, it's like, I'm not going to do my medical records at home. I don't want to be bringing work home with me because home is home time. And as new grads, it's really hard in some cases to have those type of boundaries because you're trying to learn as much as you can. You're trying to make sure you're doing your medical records to the best of your capability. But I just don't want you guys to burn out from that aspect of it. So if you're able to just stay at work for the extra little bit of time, hopefully that it takes to finish the medical records so you can go home and not think about your records, then it's worth it. Granted, it comes down to the person and the individual. If you're like, I have my office at home, that becomes my separate workstation and I go home to my office and finish my medical records, then fine. That works for you guys. But in general, try and get your medical records done at work so that when you leave work, you've left work at work. How many times can I say work, 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 work in that point? So that brings us to the end of our 5 tips. I could keep on going. I will not keep on going for you guys, but I do want to point out for this next summer session of the podcast, you will be hearing a ton more of clinically relevant cases. So we'll be talking about like kidney disease, hyperthyroidism, neurology, orthopedics, like how do you actually manage specific types of cases? And more important than that, how do you communicate that to your clients? Because these are the type of cases that you guys are going to see within your first 6 to 12 months in practice. And having someone that's on your team to tell you this is one of the ways that you can communicate this information will allow you to develop your spiel a little bit better, but then also just give you that leg up. Because again, we were taught the medicine in school, but we weren't necessarily taught all the communication skills that are needed to set that client up for success and that patient up for success. So that's what you guys can expect over the next couple months here on the podcast. But if you have any questions about what you've heard today or anything that's coming up, do let me know. You can drop a comment here if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music. You can also follow Sawyer Vet Noah on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram if you want as well, and you are more than welcome to ask me questions there. But with that, I will say thank you so much for listening this week, you guys, and until next week, see ya.
So that's it for another show. Thank you so much to Dr. Mariah and her guests for today's tips. And if you're interested in learning more about what we do to support early stage vets in their careers, then check out my book, Sawyer Vet Now What, or Non-Clinical Skills Training Class of the same name. Until next time, take care.